Hi, I'm Joy Manning, editor of Edible Philly.
And I'm Marisa McClellan, author of Food in Jars.
Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk shop with obsessed home cooks everywhere. This week, we're talking about Instant Pot chicken thighs, panzanella, and the fancy food show. But first, let's compare notes on something we read this week. So thekitchen.com, yeah. One of yours and mine's favorite websites dedicated to all things home cooking, did a special project they're calling the Kitchen 100, which is basically like their current 100 favorite grocery items.
Yeah.
This is, I guess, for food nerds only. But
yeah.
Like, I was very, very captivated by the whole idea of, like, making this list and, like, reading their list and judging their list and thinking about what I would put on the list. So I wanted to share it with you because I thought you would have a lot of the same feelings.
Yeah. So tell me, I mean, I really like the list. I like that they've done this, especially because it's not like a sponsored content piece, but it's literally just them.
Right.
I'm sure that they're using affiliate links as you click through, but it's not like somebody paid them to create this. This is really and truly things they love, which I always like to see because people who spend as much time thinking about food as the folks at the kitchen do have, you know, a really good idea of what's great.
Right. Yeah. And there were some things on that list that I would never pick up or I would never have thought to pick up. Like they had, I think it's like a Del Monte segmented grapefruit in a jar.
You know what's so funny is that I know that that's Faith's pick because I remember like 8 or 9 years ago, she did something about how she bought those at Costco and keeps them in her fridge.
I love grapefruit. Yeah. I mean, would I eat more grapefruit if I had that? Probably.
Yeah, it's a super great trick to like buy them already supremed so that all you have to do is eat it.
If it's good enough for Faith, it's good enough for me. Anyways, but of course, there were plenty of things on there that you and I, as obsessed grocery store product watchers, we've long known and loved.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite things that I spied on this list, and I know that this overlaps with you.
Yeah.
Spindrift grapefruit. We could not love Spindrift more.
I was, and we'll talk about the fancy food show more, but they were at the fancy food show.
Oh my goodness.
And they had this massive refrigerator case and it looked like there's some new flavors coming.
Is grapefruit your favorite flavor?
Grapefruit is tied for first place in my heart with their blackberry.
Oh, my second favorite is raspberry lime,
I think.
That's
a good one.
But I love grapefruit.
Yeah.
Also Oatly, which is like one of my coffee obsessions.
Yeah.
Nothing goes into coffee better and for a non-dairy milk than an oat milk, and Oatly's is one of the best. Health Aid kombucha, which I swoon for. It's not local, which actually makes me feel – I love our local kombuchas as well.
Yeah.
But as far as the bigger brands go, nothing – I don't like any of the bigger brands as much as Health Aid.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Goya chickpeas, which I've probably gone on and on about on this podcast because there is no – other chickpeas do not compare to Goya. They cannot hold a candle to Goya. Goya chickpeas are the biggest. They're the tenderest. They're the creamiest. They're the most well-seasoned. They are just...
They are the perfect canned chickpea. If you can't cook your own, you should buy Goya.
Yes. And then Old Blue Raw Honey.
Which you know we love. Camille.
I think Camille is probably listening. She is our number one super fan.
It's true.
And we are super fans of hers and her honey. And... I hope actually she's not listening because she's so busy filling orders.
It's true. They've got a lot of work to do.
Congrats, Camille. Your honey is delicious. I told you some of the stuff that I saw on the list that I wanted to check out, including those grapefruit segments, but also the Masa Organics short grain brown rice. They said, if you think all brown rice is the same, this is not. And I was like, I do think all brown rice is the same. So I want to see the other side of that. And I'm really not one for jarred and bottled sauces, but they said that this Maya Kamai Madras curry Indian simmer sauce tastes as good as homemade. So, like,
hey,
I'd give it a try. Do you buy any simmer sauces or anything like that?
Not really. Mostly because Scott doesn't really like curry. He doesn't like Indian food. I used to, you know, we all know my Trader Joe's love. They have a tikka masala simmer sauce that I used to buy a lot when I was in college, which I love.
Mm.
My sister would make a thing with it that she called beanwa, greenwa, quinoa.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about that before.
That was funny. So good. There were a couple of things on the list, too, that I just want to shout out that I love.
Yes.
They gave a little love to the Wild Planet seafood. Like, I love their canned salmon. They have really great tuna. They have got sardines that are really terrific. Their canned seafood is some of the best I've tried.
And – you know, we would be remiss not to say some of the most sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. It's more expensive, but it's worth the money to be a better, you know, consumer of seafood products in this world. Tsum, which is the tahini that's, you know, based here in Philadelphia, that is so good. It's so creamy. They also mentioned the We Love Jam Blenheim apricot jam, mm-hmm. which is truly one of the best jams in the world. Like, it is as good as anything I make. It's excellent jam. And then cottage cheese. Oh, cottage cheese. I love cottage cheese. It's hard to say, but I am a big fan of cottage cheese, and they mentioned it. So, yeah, it's a fun list. You should
check it out. See if your favorites are there or missing, and then come back to our show notes and tell us what you thought. We want to know. So what's cooking?
So I am, it's hot. It's really hot in Philadelphia right now.
Which I feel compelled to explain to our listeners, as I explained to you, that there is my downstairs, when we moved, we have a zoned air conditioning system. So there's like one unit that cools downstairs and then three units that cool upstairs. Upstairs is nice and cool. Downstairs where the kitchen is like 82 degrees. So not good for cooking.
Yeah, you're not doing
so well. I apologize for my perhaps lack of great cooking mojo in the coming weeks.
You might have to learn to grill.
It's hot. It's even hotter outside.
I know, but at least the heat is in your house.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So even though I have relatively good air conditioning, I still don't want to fill my apartment with heat right now. And so one of the ways that I've been combating or dealing with the weather is calling on my Instant Pot, because mm-hmm. it doesn't produce a lot of heat. And so one of my favorite things this time of year is the Instant Pot pulled chicken. And so I make it boneless, skinless chicken thighs. And then I use a combination of jam and vinegar to make my sort of braising liquid. And I did this recently for the 4th of July. We had some friends over with little kids, and I threw everything in the Instant Pot, let it go. We went to the pool. And then when we were done, it was ready. And it could not be easier. I do it in the Instant Pot, for like 45 minutes on high pressure. And you just combine boneless, skinless chicken thighs. And then I use one part jam, one part like apple cider vinegar, some salt, pepper, garlic powder, and onion powder.
No water?
No water. There's enough liquid from the vinegar breaking down the jam that it's plenty of liquid.
And of course, the chicken thighs do exude. Yeah. But I find that people are very fearful of not putting water in their Instant Pot.
I think as long as you've got some liquid, you know, you don't want to water down that juice. But like as long as you're not using a jam that's like stiff in the jar, you know, equal parts of jam and vinegar make sort of like a barbecue sauce.
When I do a whole pork shoulder in the Instant Pot, I don't add any liquid.
Really?
It starts exuding liquid almost immediately.
But yeah, so I just do 45 minutes at high pressure. And then once the time is up, I just, you know, the chicken pieces won't have shredded, but then you just go in there with a pair of tongs and work the chicken a little bit mm-hmm. and it falls right apart. And, you know, for the 4th of July, what we did is I made some coleslaw, and I cheated. I bought some bags of shredded cabbage from Trader Joe's. I mixed up a little, you know, mayo dressing, and then that was it. We bought rolls. So it was Instant Pot pulled chicken, coleslaw, rolls, and a bunch of fruit.
Easy peasy.
So easy. It was really delicious. There are leftovers, there were leftovers, I should say. And, you know, I turned them into other things to eat for the rest of the week.
Yeah, that sounds really good. That's one of the Instant Pot's best tricks, is making quick work of those of chicken thighs and lots of other meats too, than just having them be so tender. Like,
and what's nice about it is you can either serve it to a lot of people, you can make it and portion it out and put it in the freezer, and then you have something to eat. You can take that same chicken and turn it into like chili, mm-hmm. or you can serve it over braised greens if you're doing something, you're trying to be a little bit lower carb. Like, it's really flexible.
Do you recall how many pounds of chicken thighs you started out with and how many people you served?
So for the 4th of July, I had something like 5 pounds of chicken thighs, mm-hmm. and there were 10 people, 6 adults, 4 kids. And when we were all done, there were about 6 cups of chicken left. Mm-hmm. Although it's sauce and chicken. So I would say that there's, you know, we probably ate 2/3 of what was in the Instant Pot.
And it all fit in one batch in your Instant Pot. Cool.
And I don't have the giant one. I have the 6-quart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was nowhere near the too high fill line.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can also do it. I mean, I've done the same thing. So I did jam and vinegar, but you could also do barbecue sauce. You could use, you know, if you wanted salsa, I've done jars of salsa and boneless, skinless chicken thighs in the same way. If you're trying to, you know, use chicken that's lower in fat, you can also do chicken breast. Boneless, skinless chicken breast works as well. It won't be as
I'm a little afraid to put a chicken breast in the Instant Pot.
I've done it. It's not quite as delightfully kind, you know, juicy. Mm-hmm. You know, you get some nice fat in the sauce from the boneless, skinless chicken thighs. But so it's a little leaner, but it still works.
Hmm. Well, that sounds very delicious.
It's really good. And again, flexible, easy, and doesn't heat up your kitchen, which we all know
is an issue.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what I have been not cooking.
Tell me.
So this all started for me when I went to lunch at Rooster Soup, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago, and I had a early summer panzanella. And all of a sudden, panzanella came back to me as a delicious food stuff. This panzanella at Rooster Soup gave me lots of ideas for playing with the format. So, like, for anyone who might not know, a panzanella is basically a Italian bread salad. It's usually just, like, tons of stale or toasted cubes of bread with tons of tomatoes, like mm-hmm. delicious ripe summer tomatoes, in a dressing.
Yeah.
And from there, you can do lots of different complimentary vegetables, red onions, garlic, scallions, dressing. A lot of different kinds of dressings work. But they had some really cool ingredients in this salad, including sunflower seeds,
ooh,
which I loved, and like charred zucchini.
Oh, that sounds good.
So I felt like I just have permission now to make all different kinds of panzanellas all summer long, and I'm going to be doing it, especially because panzanella is only as good as its bread, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in our What We're Loving segment. But now the Fountain Farmers Market where I live has lost bread, company bread, which, every week. And their bread is so fantastic and, you know, just a great basis for panzanella. Yeah. Is this something that you make?
It's funny. Panzanella is one of those things that I've gone through cycles with over the years.
I'll go
through a period where I'll make it a lot and then I'll forget about it for a couple of years and then I'll make it a bunch again. But I love it. I love doing sort of a pesto-y green panzanella. Mm. You can get like the zebra stripe green tomatoes at the farmer's market later in summer and then, you know, sort of toasted crusty bread and green tomatoes and cucumbers and pesto.
Oh, cucumbers are wonderful.
So good. So good.
And so you can try to take it in a little bit. You can keep it healthier by using like a whole grain bread, you know, or at least a partially whole grain bread. You can make it more indulgent by adding cheese and then it becomes sort of like a chopped up caprese salad situation.
It's so good.
It is so good.
I've certainly seen them if you're a meat eater with grilled chicken, like cubes of grilled chicken in there, but certainly not necessary.
You can whip up the tofu ricotta as you could find in local Mouthfuls resolution recipes.
Oh,
and
that would be good.
Dot that on it, which I've definitely done. All kinds of herbs go in here, besides the obvious one being basil. Fresh tarragon is wonderful in this particular salad. You can use, of course, parsley and chives. You can take the whole thing kind of in a slightly French direction with tarragon and like a Dijon mustard. And you even could add some like Niçoise olives and anchovies. Yeah,
that'd be really good.
It's just like you don't have to turn your oven on at all.
No.
And because the bread is such a pronounced component, you definitely feel full. You know, it's definitely satisfying and hearty.
Yeah. So there have been some times too where I'll make sort of like a panzanella kit where I'll make the vegetable part and keep it in the fridge and then have the stale bread. And so at lunchtime, I can just kind of combine, you know, let it half an hour before I want to eat, combine the ingredients.
Yeah. Because you want the bread to soak up the tomato juices and your dressing, but like not too much.
Yeah. You don't want them to like soak overnight because then it's just kind of pudgy and gross. But yeah, it's so good.
It's definitely one of the most delightful parts of summer. And imagine like some fresh corn in there, radishes, roasted red peppers. It's like a template. Like the tomato and bread salad is a starting point that can take you in a million fun, tasty directions.
Lots of
this
herbs.
Summer.
You can always, beets. You can go sort of like a borscht version where you could do like cooked red beets and dill and then the bread.
Like a yogurty sauce.
Yeah.
Like a yogurty dressing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of, I hope that you're feeling inspired because I can't tell you what a relief it is to whip up something like this in your hot kitchen and have like a really crowd pleasing, really hearty dinner in just really a few minutes.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been not cooking, and we'll probably have a lot of dishes from what Joy's been not cooking as it continues to be super hot.
Well, I feel like, you know, all of your food knowledge is coming to bear on preparing rather than cooking, and what right. everything you can do without applying heat.
Yeah. So I saw a lot of your great Instagrams from the Fancy Food Show.
Yeah.
Are you ready to give us the full download?
I am. So when was this? July 2nd. So the Fancy Food Show is typically sort of the last weekend in June into the, you know, first day or two of July. And I've gone just about every summer now. I think it's been 10 years, which is crazy. And so I went up to New York for the day. It is a giant, epic experience. It's the Javits Center, which is a giant convention center in New York City. And there are multiple floors where it's just a sea of booths of people trying to get you to buy their, you know, food product. And so I always get a press pass.
It's a big event for buyers.
Yeah.
It's grocery stores, small and large, right?
Exactly. And so they're always, you know, like, I feel like Old Nelson here in Philadelphia, which is a little, you know, market slash deli, you can tell that they go because mm-hmm. they always have, after, you know, sort of midsummer, a new crop of interesting things shows up in their store. I saw people from Whole Foods. I saw people, you know, from Mom's Organic, like lots and lots of grocery store buyers go there. And then there's, you know, people like me who are there kind of trying to spot the trends that are coming up. And so I spent a day wandering through. And of course, me being me, like the jams and pickles and preserves certainly caught my eye. But there's just a lot to see. One of the things I really did notice is that there is still a trend towards more and more. Like, it's funny. There's a lot of jerky and meat sticks, mm-hmm. which, you know, when we have talked about food trends happening right now, over the last couple of years, like that has been consistent. Lots and lots of meat sticks or meat snacks. But then sort of on the other hand, there's lots and lots of faux meat and meat imitation snacks. So you've got both the meat sticks and then the like vegan meat stick. And so it's like,
which like, what is even in a vegan meat stick?
I don't know.
Okay.
Wondering. I have tried some vegan jerky, which I must confess is not my favorite thing in the world. And vegan jerky, I think it's like Vital Wheat gluten that's like marinated and then dried.
Hmm.
But so there was those kinds of things. There was certainly a lot of jackfruit, which has become sort of the like the beloved thing for, you know, replicating barbecue, vegan barbecue.
I don't love it, though.
I don't love it either. There was – so last year there was a lot of – like fermented vegetable juices, and I didn't see as much of that this year.
I do love that.
Yeah. But there was a lot of shrubs. Like I ran into maybe 6 or 7 shrub makers overall, which is very interesting.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second just to gripe about something?
Yeah.
Here in Philadelphia, there's a company that's now making a canned shrub that is alcoholic.
Oh, that's annoying.
That is contrary to the spirits of what shrubs are,
yeah.
in my opinion. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I didn't run into a lot of that, but I definitely ran into some really delicious shrubs. There was a company, if I can find the picture.
Add alcohol if you want, but don't put it together in the container.
Yeah, exactly. So Epic is one of the companies that I saw that makes all the meat snacks. Still a lot of drinks. People are trying to sell us drinks like honey flavored water. Various, you know, fruit flavored waters.
Sweetened water?
Sweetened water.
That's bizarre.
A lot of sweetened water. A lot of sweet heat things. So, you know, you'll see like, hot honey or like a hot syrupy drizzle to put on things, which is an interesting, you know,
market. I could get into some spicy honey.
Yes. The sweet heat thing is big. Lots of really good preserves. I tasted, some sour cherry preserves that were really delicious. Interesting salts. Jacobson Salt from Oregon is doing some really interesting salts. They also apparently have expanded over into France and are making French sea salt as well.
Like what kind of salt qualifies as interesting?
Well, like they have lots of different flavored sea salts or like volcanic black sea salt. And then they also have this sort of complementary thing. Or no, they're doing Italian sea salt, not French sea salt. And they've got like salty caramels that they make as well to complement their, you know, to show you all the delicious things you can do with their salt.
I like a salty caramel.
There were lots of pickles. There's also an interesting trend happening right now. I saw a lot of like little single serve packets of like peanut butter or jam or a hazelnut spread. And that was replicated a number of times where people were, like, you know, PB&J isn't fast enough. You need to be able to dial up that on the go. The Meadow, Mark Bitterman's salt company, was also there.
They've
repackaged all their salts and they look beautiful. Huh,
that's cool.
Yeah. I've always liked their products. There was, you know me, I'm always interested in the naturally sweetened things. I ran into a lot of naturally sweetened salad dressings.
Hmm.
So there was a date syrup salad dressing that was really delicious.
Date syrup is everywhere, and I like it as much as the next person, but you know I'm of the opinion that sugar is sugar is sugar.
Sugar, sugar, sugar. The date caramel was also good. Again, sugar, but delicious sugar. I tried the wild tonic honey sweetened kombucha.
Yes, please.
Which was so good. Definitely, I highly recommend. They had a chai pear flavor that I could have just kind of put my head under the spout and gone to town.
That sounds amazing.
It was really good. Oh, this was an interesting one. I'm flipping through my pictures as we're talking so that I can remember.
Sure, why not?
So we, you know, you and I both love a seaweed snack as much as the next girl.
I do. And I don't buy them because they're so overly packaged.
They are. And they're hard to eat. Like, you have these weird little, you know, layers that you put on your tongue. So there was a company called Sea Stick that is taking those and drying them round so that they're a little easier to eat and there's a little less packaging instead of there being a plastic container inside a
sleeve.
I'm
all for that.
It's just a plastic sleeve. So it's still plastic, but it's less packaging than you get with other kinds of seaweed snacks. Here's another one that I think you'll really like is the trend for vegan mayo is huge.
I love a vegan mayo.
There were so many makers of vegan mayo.
I like them all, actually.
Have you tried the Good Spoon?
No.
This is when it's thickened with microalgae and it's 60% lower in fat than regular mayo.
Oh, interesting. Mayo. Did you taste it?
I did. It was delicious.
Really? You would have not known the difference. Uh-uh. At 60% less fat.
Yeah.
I would have to taste that to believe it.
It's really good and it's really creamy and it comes in like four different flavors. They've got original, they've got a curry, a smoky spicy, and a garlic and
herb. Who makes it again?
It's called the Good Spoon. And this very personable French man described it to me. He had a lovely accent. He made me a little thing of coleslaw with mayonnaise squeezed on top. It was delicious.
Sometimes a charismatic person with an accent can make a food taste better.
It's true, but it actually was good. And they were using it. They also did, I missed it, but they did a demo with a vegan fish, like a faux fish maker, and they were doing sushi with this faux fish with the vegan mayo, which I thought was an interesting concept. But I really liked the Good Spoon. It was a great vegan mayo.
I'll pick it up if I see it.
Yeah, I think you will like it. What else? Lots of pickle snacks. So as opposed to like pickles in jars, pickles in little sealed packs that you can take on the go and snack on, which I think is interesting. I found
this does prove the point that pickles are in fact a snack.
That is true. We didn't mention that, but in that Kitchen 100, they list pickles under the snacks.
I think they're a snack. Marisa thinks they're not a snack.
I think they're more of a condiment.
Let us know if pickles are a snack or not.
I discovered a preserve maker that I really love called Josephine's Feast.
That must be a big deal for you.
Are
they new?
I don't know if she's new or not, but she has the most lovely hand-illustrated labels on her jars and interesting flavors. She makes a pumpkin butter that was really delicious, an onion preserve. I really liked her products. They were great. And she was very sweet as well. Let's see. Oh, and the other jam I loved. So I've always been really skeptical of banana jams.
Mm-hmm.
But Brin's Jams and Marmalades, based in Brooklyn, makes a banana jam that totally broke down my resistance to banana jam.
I must confess, I've never tasted banana jam.
It is like all that is good about a banana in a spreadable preserve.
Have you ever made it?
I haven't, because bananas are low in acid, and so they're kind of hard to manage as a you know, but anyway, Spindrift was there. Lots of sauces.
Can you tell us more about the coming soon flavors from Spindrift?
So the two that I spotted, there was a cranberry raspberry, and then it looked like there was a pear ginger.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited about both of those.
Me too.
And they have bigger cans. So other things I spotted too, portobello mushroom jerky. Interesting.
Okay.
There was also a mushroom salsa, various mushroom salsas.
Did you know that the original ketchup was made from mushrooms?
I sure did.
I did not know that until very recently.
The two shrubs that I tried that I really liked, one is the Element Shrub, and they make a bottled soda version that doesn't have alcohol in it. And they have a honeydew jalapeno.
Ooh, that sounds delightful.
That was really good. And then the other one I really liked was Mother Shrub. I think she's based in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a salted honey shrub, which you would think sweet on sweet, what's going on, but it was really great.
Did you say salted honey shrub?
Salted honey shrub.
That sounds like something I would like.
It was really great.
I put salt in all my shrubs.
Do you?
Maybe that's what makes them foam like crazy. Could that be?
I don't know.
I have this foaming shrub problem that when I combine my shrub with seltzer water, it goes crazy and like foams like a volcano.
I think that that's pretty normal, actually.
Really?
Yeah. The other one in terms of ferments that I loved was the Hawthorne Valley ferments. They have a turmeric fennel fermented sauerkraut that was really great. There are ginger carrots.
I never met a sauerkraut I didn't like, though.
That's true. That is true. And then one last crazy thing. So cauliflower pretzels.
I saw that on your Instagram and had so many questions.
Yeah. They're made from – the company is from the ground up, and they are literally pretzels with some cauliflower in the batter.
There must be other
grains. Yeah, there are other grains. But,
I mean, not that cauliflower is not a grain, but there must be grains involved.
They're crazy good. I really enjoyed them.
I wonder what the percentage of cauliflower is.
I don't know, but they were great. So all in all, I tasted a bunch of great things. You know, there's part of me that always thinks, do we need any more new foods? But then people do really interesting, creative things, and it's always an interesting day to discover.
I can't believe you would think that. I always want to know new foods, new adventures, and like new ideas.
Well, I mean, then I come down to it and I'm like, yeah, I like it.
I don't buy a lot of this kind of stuff at all, but I like hearing about it. I think it can spark your own imagination. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And seaweed mayo that's got 60% less fat, that could change my life. We'll wait and see.
So before we run out of time, why don't you tell us about this Lost Bread Company bread that you're loving?
So everyone knows that I have been eating tons of frozen veggie burgers lately. And you need to put your frozen veggie burgers on something. And usually I try to keep it really healthy using like an Ezekiel style English muffin instead of a bun, which is good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop doing that. But Lost Bread has these amazing buns that they call sun buns.
Mm.
And they are made with sunflower oil, roasted potatoes, and smoked malt.
Whoa.
Jiminy crickets. They're so good. I've eaten these buns like just as a snack. Like,
that sounds great.
And I mean, anything that you put on them becomes incredibly delicious. I love all kinds of English muffins. I love a Martin's potato roll. But this to me is really like the highest expression of hamburger bun. What do you put your hamburgers or other similar sandwiches on?
I often skip the bun if I'm having like a hamburger or a veggie burger. But if I really want a great bun, I typically will go for some sort of brioche or challah. Like if I want a high expression of a bun, you know, those are kind of my personal favorites.
I feel that a bun is an integral part of a burger experience. I have to have it. I just don't even want to eat the burger if I'm not going to. At that point, why not just make a salad? That's my thinking.
Well, like if I, you know me, I make a lot of turkey burgers, and most of the time I'll like turkey burger, roasted sweet potatoes, maybe some steamed broccoli, no bun.
Okay. I would make meatballs in that situation
instead,
but I guess we'll just agree. Turkey burgers are easier. But next time you do find yourself in a bun needing situation, Lost Bread Company sun buns.
Oh, I'm going to try them. They sound great.
Super tasty. I cannot wait to eat another one, which will be soon. That's the only – I do eat more of them because they're so delicious.
Well, you know.
I have to hide them for myself in the freezer. That's the thing, because the bread does freeze really
well. Yeah. Well, I think that's it for this episode of Local Mouthful. Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing the show, to Saul Rosenbaum for designing our logo, and to Raina Rose for providing the music. And thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Local Mouthful. Sign up for our newsletter, catch up on past episodes, and check out our show notes at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.